In my opinion, chapter 23 would be the one of the reasons why the people would stay away from the book of Leviticus. Because it seems hard, because at a glance, there are many things that about the feast that we are not familiar with and we don't care about, and it's there, Jewish, ancient Jewish people to follow. Our thought would be, okay, so what's this got to do with us? Materialistically, absolutely nothing. But spiritually, in my opinion, I see the tremendous amount of information that explained to us how the seven Jewish ancient feasts are related to the prophetic nature of Jesus Christ, which fulfilled and will be fulfilled. And I couldn't help myself saying that while I was studying this, and you know, I've heard about it, but I never got into it deeply. And I realized what a great God we have. And if somebody had to read this Bible, there wouldn't be anybody else except God, because the way He made it is so phenomenal. In this chapter, these special ways, special days are called a feast. 9 times, the Holy Convocation is mentioned 10 times. And feasts only have only small portion with the eating. We, in our mindset, feast, what do we think first? Food! Yeah, it's a good thing. We are Calvary Chapel, so we gotta eat a lot, right? Calvary Chapel, we have to live up to our name. But it has very little to do with the food, actual food. In fact, on the Day of Atonement, you guys know that in chapter 16 we studied that. They fast, they pray, and they skip the meals. And the word feast simply means appointed time. You might want to kind of circle in your Bible and then mark it as a appointed time. And a holy convocation, it's one of those words we use every day. So what would it be the convocation means? It means a proclamation or announcement. In other words, holy announcement, holy proclamation. We'll stop and pray. Heavenly Father, Your word, the Bible, is intriguing. It's just blowing our minds, because it is so truthful. And at the same time, You prepared Your Son's arrival and death and resurrection and ascension all together from the beginning. Before there was anything in the universe, before there was universe, You made it happen. Not only for Your glory, but also for the love for us. As we study, prepare our heart to study this seventh feast mentioned in this book of Leviticus chapter 23, we are looking forward to the feast, ultimate feast, marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. There will be the place to be for all the saints of God. And the most of all, the greatest of all is, we are not going to be there because of our good behavior, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which washed away all our sins and make us whole. So we are asking to open our heart to receive Your truth, that we may understand what You intended in this particular chapter. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Of chapter 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, these are My feasts. 6 days you shall work be done, and the seventh day is a Sabbath of the solemn, what? Rest. Very good. A holy convocation, you shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Since you guys have been reading ahead, right? You read this chapter 23, right? Yeah, right? Okay, of course you read. And you guys noticed that, and there are actually 8 special days mentioned in this chapter, including Sabbath. However, Sabbath is not annual feast, it's a weekly thing that they have to do. It was an important day of the Jewish life. and they were expected honored. In the ancient Jewish time, if you ignore Sabbath, they can literally kill you for it. And that's what God told them. Then you have to wonder, why did God put the Sabbath before all these seven feasts? It's like a rule of thumb or yardstick. It's to measure. It's 7 days, and everything pretty much falls with a seven. And all the Jewish feasts is connected with this Sabbath. Note that thing. Put that in the back of your mind. God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites for the several reasons, according to Genesis 2:1. For one thing, it provided the need rest and the refreshment for the people, their farm animals, and the land. Sabbath comes to the, from the Hebrew word that means to rest. So you might want to jot down on the side of that word, Sabbath, to rest and to cease from labor. We are no longer observing the days and the seasons because Christ has fulfilled this. We no longer go through this Sabbath. To make it clear, Jewish Sabbath is which day of the week? Saturday. And some people, some Christians insist that the Sunday is the Sabbath, so they should not work and they should not do anything. No, that would be wrong interpretation. The true interpretation of Sabbath is a Saturday. So the reason why we celebrate, why we do the service on Sunday is because that's the day of the, our God, our Jesus' resurrection. That's the Lord's resurrection day. Sabbath was also a special sign between God and His people, covenant people, Jewish people. And our true rest only comes from the redemption in our Lord Jesus Christ. I put the only or twice. It must be important thing, huh? Rest of redemption are the twofold aspect of Sabbath day. What am I talking about? Let's go, keep your finger there, and let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Matthew 11. That's what I meant. Yeah, it's up there, right? Matthew 11:28. Are you there yet? Okay. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, we will charge you $5 to Suzanne later. Let's go back to the verse, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 4. Now we find the first feast known as Passover. You might want to kind of write next to the Passover word, that title in you, if you have a subtitle in your Bible, and write it down, the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. Crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. So, verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, the holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at their appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month, highlight the first month, at the twilight is the Lord's Passover. Now, the Passover is the Israeli feast of deliverance. It comes from Exodus chapter 12. Remember, God brought the disaster to the Egyptians and the Pharaoh. And he was continuously fighting against God. So finally, God said, okay, enough is enough. And then this is going to be the last time I'm going to bring the disaster on the Egypt. He chose to kill all the firstborn of Egypt. Remember that? Including even the Israelis. Those who don't believe, those who don't follow God, they will be killed. Only way they can survive through is they have to kill the lamb, that without blemish, apply the blood under their doorpost, up and down each side and across. So they present the shape of cross, right? And they, all of them have to be inside, eat roasted lamb and eat it. That is the concept. In other words, that the lamb they just killed and blood applied into their house typified Jesus Christ, who shed the blood on the cross for the world of the lost sinners. The firstborn of the Jews in Egypt were not saved from the death by admiring the lamb or caring for the lamb or loving the lamb. But the lamb had to be slain and the blood would have to be applied to the post of each Jewish house by faith. God said it, if you don't do it because you don't care for what God said, they would be dead. By faith, they have to apply it. Same thing, we are unsaved by the Christ the example or the Christ the teacher. But we are saved by the Christ, the atoning sacrifice, who gave his life in our behalf on the cross. At the same hour, the Passover lamb was killed in the actual temple. You with me? Gary, you with me? Okay. You had that look. Okay. And no outsider, another very important thing is no outsider will permitted to eat the Passover feast. They cannot have the Passover lamb, but it's bad to eat that thing. Jews have to be either born in the family of Jew or purchased as the slaves. And the man had to bear on their body the mark of the covenant. For the man, that would be circumcision, physical circumcision. Those who never trust Jesus Christ can eat and can feast on him through the word of God and find the strength they need for the journey of life. Only somebody born in the family of God through the faith in Jesus Christ and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and have a mark by the Holy Spirit can have that person is considered as a child of a new covenant and can appropriate Jesus Christ through the word and the feast and feed on him. This Passover is the beginning of a Jewish religious year. And when the sinners trust Christ, that's the mark for the beginning of the new life. All things pass away, everything become new. Remember that verse? And when would be the first month mentioned here? In Jewish years, the Jewish month would be Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. It's not the vehicle Nisan. It's a Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, and it's the month of April, late March and April. Okay? So move down to this verse 6. Now we are going to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is fellowship with Christ through his death. All right, verse 6. Now we find the 15th day. So first annual feast was what? Passover. In the 14th day of the first month, which is Nisan, that means March or late March or the first part of the April. Now, the day after is the 15th day. So it's right after Sabbath, that means what is it? Right after Saturday? Sunday. Very good. Now, at the verse 6. On the 15th day of the first same month, is the feast of the unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall... 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, but you shall offer an offering made by the fire to the Lord for the 7 days. Seventh day, you shall be holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. In other words, they have a Passover Saturday, and starting from what? Sunday, you... I'm sorry, yeah, Passover, yeah, exactly, I'm sorry. Passover, and the next day is the starting with a brand new day, and this is another feast, and starting with a no work, and at the seventh day, another day, then no work. Okay, you with me? In the between time, nobody eat leavened bread. In other words, by the way, Jewish people still follow dietary laws. Still. Majority of them, about 90-some% of people follow dietary laws. Even though they are secular, even though they are not Orthodox people, they still follow. If you traveled during the time of Feast of Unleavened Bread, you're in the hotel and you ask for the roll, they give you matzah. is a flat, you know, the cracker we eat on the day when we have a communion. That's all you get for 7 days. And it is no wonder why the American tourists don't want to go to the Holy Land during that time. What?
I'm not going.
Yeah. I don't blame you. On the for 7 days following the Passover, the month of Nisan, Jews only have unleavened bread and for their meals. And because the leaven present what? Sin, exactly. During that time, they're trying to stay away from the sins and putting away the leaven. And also, not only that, they even go through the entire house looking for any piece of bread that has a container of yeast, the leaven. And they took them all out, and they even they leave the few crumbs around the house and let the children find it. And they make a big praise, oh, without you we couldn't find that leaven. And they make a special thing. Just because they remove the sins, that doesn't mean it's going to be anything special. Jewish people want to save from the death and bondage by getting rid of the leaven, but by applying the blood of the lamb by faith. Remember, applying the lamb's blood on the doorpost by faith. People today think that they will be saved because they think they are good or get rid of the bad habit. But they can never do what only the blood of Christ can do. Salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ alone and sinless Lamb of God. Are you with me so far? Okay. So the next feast will be the first fruit, the feast of the first fruit. And that represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and saying to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, and you shall bring the sheaf of the first, underline, first fruit of your harvest, underline that please, to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And then underline next sentence, the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Move down to the verse 14, please. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain, nor the fresh grain until, bless you, same day that you have brought the offering to your God. It shall be statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. What was the way they did offering? It was not like a shaking side to side. Remember I showed you with Oscar? Side to side, the person who sacrificed standing there and the priest holding this side, they move side to side and then up and down, and it's symbolizing cross here again. The priest took the first sheaf of the barley and from the field, and they waved this thing back and forth as an offering before the Lord. It's a token of their appreciation, the token of the harvest to come. In other words, if you have a 10 acre of the barley field, you harvest the first portion, and you bring them to the temple, and you give it to the God as a wave offering, the grain offering, peace offering. You do that first before you even harvest the rest of them. It's also expression of a gratitude to God at giving harvest and supplying their daily bread. At the same time, Jewish people will not eat anything coming from the harvest until they give offering to God. What does it mean? Whatever they get, 10% goes to God from the beginning, tithing. They do not even touch anything else. Some people ask me, should we do a tithing gross or net? In my opinion, it's very simple. Look at it. Do you see anything about giving it to priests or giving it to government or that kind of thing? So, the way I look at it, before IRS touch my income, I give it 10% to God. And some people say, oh, I cannot afford it. Are you thinking that God cannot take care of your need? If He cannot take care of your need because He's running out in His treasury, He's not God. Two basic truths emerge here. Number one, God accepts a sheaf for the whole harvest. In other words, because the Father God, when He sees the barley, He considered, okay, I'm getting the rest. You can have the rest of them. I'm going to get this because they are the same thing. And because God, Father God accepted Jesus Christ, we are all accepted in Him. Am I making sense to you? Second thing I find is the sheaf is like a harvest. The priest didn't wave a palm branch for barley. He waved a sheaf of barley. As the first fruit of the resurrection harvest, Jesus Christ is now what one day His people shall be. In other words, Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. We will be like Him. At the resurrection harvest, we will shall be like Him. As I mentioned before, Sabbath is a Saturday, and the day after Sabbath is a Sunday, and it's important for Jesus, is important because Jesus rose on that day from the dead, and the first day of the week is Sunday, and that's the reason why we celebrate each Sunday by coming to church and worshiping Him. Seventh-day Adventists will insist, if you get to talk with the Seventh-day Adventist people, they will insist you, they will say that you are worshiping Sun God Day. It's a pagan God. So you tell them, Sabbath is for the Jewish Old Testament people. The reason why we go to the church on Sunday is because that's the resurrection day for the Jesus Christ. Oh, they have so much problem. It's not even funny. Verse 15. And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days. Underline 50 days, please. To the day after seventh day, and I'm sorry, day after seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with, underline, with leaven. And they are the first fruit to the Lord. I ask you, underline, 50 days, and at the same time, underline, with leaven. This special day, the Feast of Pentecost, is the beginning. It represents the beginning of the church. That this special day was also called as the Feast of the Weeks because it is celebrated 7 weeks after the first fruit.
The 50 days start at the end of that 7 days?
Yes. So starting from the day, the first fruit day, and then you count 7 weeks. Seven Sabbaths, then 49 days, right? And then day after that is Pentecost. Pentecost means the 50th. And since the feast was held 7 weeks after the first fruit, it too was the first day of the week. That means the Lord's Day. Are you with me so far? This is very important for you to understand. Day of Pentecost is Sunday, not Saturday, not any other day. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, He showed Himself alive for 40 days to many people. He showed Himself to the Mary. He showed Himself to the two disciples in the road to the Emmaus. And also He showed Himself to the disciples. And then He showed Himself to the 500 people. And they said, well, they had a hallucination. In my opinion, they all had a hallucination for same thing at the same time. To me, that's a miracle, right? Anyway, after that, He just before He ascended into heaven, He said to the disciples they should not depart from Jerusalem, wait for a promise of the Father. 10 days after the on the day of Pentecost, Spirit of God came upon them, just as mentioned in the Acts chapter 2. That is known as Day of Pentecost. And that's the beginning of the church. Folks, that's the beginning of the church. So for the first time, you see that here, that God told them to bring the two loaves of bread and with baked with leaven. Well, why in the world God would allow the Jewish people to include leaven is because two loaves represent the church. One loaf represents the Jewish people, the other loaf represents Gentile. What's the purpose of leaven in the church? Guess what? There's a sin. Some people say, well, I'm looking for a perfect church. And I say, don't join it because you're going to ruin it. There is no such a thing as a perfect church until we get to the heaven to be with Jesus. The feast lasts only one day. This day of Pentecost only lasts one day. The event would mark the end of the wheat harvest, and Jews were commanded to remember the poor, and they're not supposed to harvest every single corner. They're supposed to leave the corner for the poor people. Verse 23, now we are finding the Feast of the Trumpet. Feast of the Trumpet is Israel back into the land. And the Lord spoke to the Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have the Sabbath rest, the memorial of blowing the trumpet, holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And you shall offer on the offering made by the fire to the Lord. Following the feast of the Pentecost, and there are 4 months gap, from the April and the almost end of April, nothing happened until the September. This first, the seventh month is known as, it's somehow dropped in September and October part. Remember, our calendar is 365 days. Their calendar is how many days? 360 days, exactly. So there's quite a difference. This gap would be the age we are now in, known as church age. So for the four feasts, we learn is first coming of Jesus Christ, what he done when he came while he was on the earth. Now the three feasts we are going to learn is a future event. According to the book of Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 1 through 10, the priest blew the trumpet, silver trumpet, for three reasons only. Three reasons, and the first one would be to call the people together. Second one would be to announce the war. Third one would be announce a special thing. The Feast of the Trumpet is held on the first day of the seventh month and ushered a new Jewish year known as Rosh Hashanah. Are you with me so far? Okay. You all right, Jack? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up our brother Jack. Whatever the problem he has, headache, and we're asking you to remove it from him now. You're willing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year, trumpet was blown 7 times to get the ancient Jews to go march, and there are 7 trumpets in the Revelation that covers the Great Tribulation period, which will see the Israel restored to the land to the kingdom age. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. Matthew 24, 31. He will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven to the other. During this time of a great tribulation, church will be in heaven. Right? We're all going to be in heaven during the tribulation time on earth. And the people who are on earth will hear the seven trumpet call. You remember just when we studied this book of Revelation, there were seven trumpet calls, seven bowl disaster, all these things. That's happening right that time. And that bring each trumpet call bring forth God's judgment and wrath, and more vicious than any one of us can possibly imagine. Remember one time that there were seven, one trumpet called and one third of people got killed? And one third of the any living thing on in the sea died? And the water turned into blood? Yeah. Can you imagine anything you're trying to drink, anything you're trying, flowing, become turning into blood and the smell? And not only that, the first day might be a bloody smell, but from the second day, and when they start to rot, and all the animals inside of drinking that, all the fish floating on the top of the bloody water, smell. That's not my idea of fun. Oh yeah, I wouldn't eat sushi during that time. I would be in heaven, so I might have a different sushi then. All right. Now the day of Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which represents forgiveness. Verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying that also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your soul. On the line, you shall afflict your soul. And offer an offering made by the fire to the Lord. Verse 28. You shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. As I said before, we covered this rather thoroughly, the Yom Kippur, in chapter 16, so I'm not going to go over that thing. If you'd like to hear about it, and you can get on our church website, ccos.org, you can click the audio MP3 file, or download the sermon note as well. Or you can borrow or buy the CDs from the church bookstore. Emphasis on here is suffering, afflicting the soul. What would it be? Humbling, humility, fasting, and praying, and confessing sin, and abstaining ourselves and themselves from any pleasure. As we learned before, that there are also prophetic message to the Day of Atonement. After Israel gathered to her land, the Jews will see their rejection of the Messiah, to repent of their sins and be cleansed, according to Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 13 verse 1. Please read that portion. It is a phenomenal place. And they will, literally, Jewish people will realize what they missed out. And they're still looking for the Messiah. When you go to Israel, even the Ronnie Simon who came here, they're still looking for the first coming of the Messiah. And they will realize if they survive it through the tribulation. Verse 33, now we find the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacle. This is representing the joy of the Lord. Verse 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacle for the 7 days to the Lord. Move down to verse 41, please. You shall keep it as the feast to the Lord, and for 7 days in the year it shall be statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in the booth for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in the booth, and that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in the booth when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I think the ancient Jew were like the U.S. federal government employees and the bank employees and Raytheon employees. Every time they turn around, they look for new holidays so they can rest, right? This is the third feast in the 7th month. It was the both memorial and prophetic feast and a time to rejoice in God's deliverance and provision for Israel during the time of the wilderness and wandering. That is the past, but what would be the prophetic message? At the same time, here's a prophetic message. The nation Israel is not only the scattered people and the sinful people, but also they are the suffering people. There is no other nation, there is no other countryman like Israeli people or the Jewish people who suffer as much as they have. When I studied the Korean history, ancient history, the little country between the Japan and gigantic country in China, if the Japan wants to invade China, guess where they have to go through? Little country, Korea. And if the Chinese people decided that we're going to go bombard this Japanese people, guess where they go through? Little country, Korea. So either way, they've been bombarded by all these foreign influences. In a way, kind of like the Israeli people. However, that country stayed intact. Now we have an idiot up in the North Korea who is trying to throw these missiles everywhere. But no other country like Israel lost the country literally, and God brought them back in 1948. And no other country like Israel was almost at the blink of disaster and complete destruction, and then God bring him back. 6 days war is a great example. And a couple of years ago, when the Hamas was throwing all these rockets from the Lebanon as well as Gaza. Remember that the Iraq war, Desert Storm, in 1990s? All the Scud missiles, how many missiles went to the Israel? And he killed one person. And that person was not even killed by the missile. He got killed because he had a heart attack. And meanwhile, our soldiers got killed by the Scud missile. But none of the Jewish people got killed. Tell me that is a Jewish coincidence. It is not. It was the hand of God for the Jewish people. This feast is also known as seven times. I went backward, didn't I? Sorry. My bad. This feast was known as the Feast of Booths because once they used to live in the booths and the tent in the wilderness, it also pictured the future kingdom God has prepared for Israel when the Messiah returns and they receive him in Zechariah, according to Zechariah 12, again, same place. For Israel, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. The scattered people will be gathered, and the sinful people will be cleansed, and the sorrowing people will rejoice. And for Christian believers, best is yet to come. For we shall gather together with the Lord and His people, and every stain washed away, rejoicing in His presence. All the time that we've been robbed will be restored throughout the eternity. All those tears we shed will be wiped away. All the sins we had to go through will not be remembered anymore. So let's kind of summarize what we did so far. First four feasts, starting with the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Feast of the First Fruit and Feast of the Pentecost that represent first coming of Jesus Christ. And the three feasts that mentioned in the latter part, the Feast of the Trumpet, Feast of the Great Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacle, they all represent the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the interesting point. Jesus is actually crucified on the Passover day, right? Day of Passover. And according to John 19, and that's why they were hurry to get killed him so they can enjoy the Passover. Remember, the Pharisees, they were in a hurry to get back to their own tradition. His body was being buried, and his holy and pure sacrifice acknowledged by God on the day of God the Father during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of Unleavened Bread. And he's been risen from the dead as a first fruit. Are you with me so far? This is a very, very important thing. I'm so sorry that I didn't bring the sermon note. And day after Passover, the Sabbath. And additionally, the church was found actual day of Pentecost. From day that the first fruit, that day, from this day until the Pentecost is actual 50 days. That's when the Holy Spirit came upon them and people got saved. 3,000 or 5,000, I think it's 3,000 people got saved in one day. Communion. Are you talking about communion? Yeah. When you look at the matzah, has a stripes, has a holes. The reason? Why did they make it that way? When of course the stripe is a burn mark, and by which stripes we are healed, and he was pierced for our iniquity. All right. Another important point for this reason, many speculate it would be the consistent for God to gather his people to himself. Remember, trumpet call is to gather people, right? And some biblical scholars said that day of the rapture would be the day of the feast of the trumpet. So, on the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Now, that would be a possibility as well as a 364 other possibility in a year. So, you cannot pinpoint me though I just proclaimed the day of the rapture because nobody knows. In Hebrew word, in the Greek word, when Jesus said nobody knows, means nobody knows, right? Don't set the date. Tomorrow would be just fine. Shofar. Yeah. Actually, it's a silver trumpet. It's not a shofar. Shofar is the one they use in ram horn. Actually, I have it at home. Yeah, and don't. No, whenever I blow this, the Pastor Jack think that he was gassing out. Yeah, some people know how to do it. I just don't have a talent for it. Yeah. I have enough problem with the neighbor's dog. Don't encourage me to do it. Anyway, so the one they use in temple is not a shofar. It's a silver trumpet.
Oh, it is a silver trumpet.
Yes.
Does it have a distinct sound?
A bugle sound, I guess. Jerry, control your woman, okay? Did she get up in the wrong side of the bed? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. This is a little too much for us to comprehend everything in one setting. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us throughout the night and tomorrow morning. Whenever we think about this Feast of Unleavened Bread and Feast of Trumpet, all this Feast of the Lord, let us realize that what a great God you are and what a wonderful gift we have in this Word, the Bible. Let us dwell in your presence, feasting at your table and surrounded by your glory. You alone is our salvation. You alone is our hope. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.